This is your life, episode 60. This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? This is your life. Is everything you dreamed it would be when the world was younger and you had everything? Hello and welcome to this episode of This Is Your Life. My name is Michael Hyatt, and this is the podcast dedicated to intentional leadership. My goal is to help you live with more passion, work with greater focus, and lead with extraordinary influence. In this episode, I'll be talking about how busy leaders can find time for social media. This is the number one question I get when I speak on the topic of platform building, and I'm going to share a way for you to reframe the question. I'm going to share with you some tips, and I think you'll find this very, very helpful. But first, this podcast is brought to you by Platform University, an online membership site for helping you launch your personal platform or take it to the next level. And you can find out more at platformuniversity.com. If you're already a member, be sure and check out the audio recording of the monthly live Q&A call, which I hosted on Sunday evening. We talked about all things publishing. And if you're not a member, please check us out at platformuniversity.com and you can get access to that content and a whole lot more. Well, let's start with our tip of the week. If you're trying to manage your email inbox with an assistant, I've got great news. I've been searching for a solution forever, and I think I found the ultimate solution. You know, I've tried all kinds of things. I've tried just doing it by giving my assistant access to my inbox. I tried it by setting up separate folders. I tried a lot of different things, but I just converted to a help desk solution called Rhino Support, and there's a link in the show notes, or you can get there by going to michaelhyatt.com/rhino. But I've got a private email address that works just like my regular email, and I handle those messages myself, but I have a public address that goes into this new help system. And let me just tell you a couple of benefits that I'm seeing already. First of all, it gives everyone on my team access to these email messages. And the goal there is just to get people help faster than they would otherwise, because I get hundreds of messages every day. It also allows my assistant to assign it to the appropriate team member. And I'm not always the best person to handle it. Somebody else can handle it. And this, by the way, is not the same as email forwarding, because it still stays in the help system and the team member gets a notification that there's a ticket awaiting their reply. So it stays right in the inbox. It also allows us to track the message until it's been dealt with, so nothing gets lost in the system. And man, I've been wanting this on my email system for years, but you can attach notes to each message so you can have a conversation back and forth with the appropriate people on how to handle the message before you ever respond to it. And then you can have individual email signatures, so the responses back to the people that sent email appear just like email. They're not really any different. It doesn't, for sure, doesn't look like a help system, but it's really, really slick. And that's my tip of the week. So check it out at michaelhyatt.com/rhino. All right, well, let's get into the main content segment. You know, I speak a lot on the topic of platform building, and inevitably, during the Q&A time following my speech, I get asked, how can I find time for social media? I get it. I mean, it's predictable. It's like rain. I mean, it happens every single time. And people say to me, I'm so busy, I can't imagine adding one more thing. And I totally get that. You know, back in 2008, when my friend Randy introduced me to Twitter, I said to him, probably what you said when you first heard about it, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. I don't have time for that. I'm a busy executive. At the time, I was the CEO of Thomas Nelson. I've got a big family with 5 daughters. I don't have time for one more thing. Well, I did find time for it, and it ended up changing everything for me personally and for my business. But most leaders I speak with still don't see the value of social media, or if they do, they don't know how to work it into their workflow. They already feel overwhelmed with their current responsibilities, and they're not looking for one more thing to do any more than I was looking for one more thing to do. Well, in this episode, I want to share with you 4 tips for finding time for social media. Now, these may be helpful to you if you're trying to find time. They may also be helpful to you if you're trying to get your boss to get involved in social media. This is a way for you, I think, to help him or her make time for it. So 4 tips, let's begin. Tip number 1, reframe the activity. If you see engaging in social media as simply one more thing you've got to add to an already overwhelming list of responsibilities, it's not going to happen. You know, blogging, Twitter, Facebook, doesn't matter. It can't simply be another add-on activity. You and I both know that you don't have time for one more thing. In fact, to be honest, you're probably struggling to keep up with what you have on your plate now. But instead, you've got to see social media as an integral part of your job. And it has to be a tool, and get this, that enables you to accomplish your work, your real work, more effectively, with more leverage, and more efficiently. Well, what is your real work as a leader? And it, you know, probably includes a dozen things, and it'll be a little bit different for everyone, but there's at least five responsibilities that are most likely on your list if you consider yourself a leader. First of all, you probably have the responsibility of raising your organization's visibility. And you can do this the expensive way by employing traditional interruption-based marketing that nobody pays attention to any longer. Unfortunately, fewer and fewer people are paying attention, and they're very selective about who they give permission to speak into their lives. That's why the use of social media is so effective. The only people listening are people who chose to follow you and become part of your tribe. And this is extremely powerful. You probably also have the responsibility to articulate your organization's vision. You know, as a leader, you can't do this too much. Vision is to your organization what blood is to your body. It gives it life. The problem is that it's difficult to be constantly articulating the vision to everyone. Besides, it's not just your own people that need to know it. Your constituents need to understand it as well. Well, social media, particularly blogging, provides a perfect delivery vehicle for this. So articulate your organization's vision. Another responsibility, networking with people who can help you. You know, this was a major responsibility for me when I was an executive in the corporate world. And one of the reasons you're probably in your position is that over the years, you've acquired a network of invaluable contacts. It's one of the secrets of your success. You've been able to tap into a network when you need to accomplish more than you could do on your own. Well, social media takes this to the next level. I have dozens and dozens of people, probably hundreds, that I now know, work with, and count on that I first met via social media. My network is larger and richer than ever. Another responsibility, to be alert to what your constituents are saying, to listen to feedback. And again, you can do this the expensive way by employing traditional market research. I still think there's a place for that, by the way. But there's nothing like understanding firsthand what your customers and constituents are saying. And modern social media tools, and I'll talk about them in a little bit, give you that opportunity for free in real time. And like it or not, there's a conversation happening right now about you, your brand, and your company online. And social media provides an opportunity for you to participate in that conversation, to learn from it, and even influence it. Another responsibility, and I took this very seriously when I started with social media and even before, but it's to mentor the next generation of leaders. This is originally why I started blogging. I found that I kept dispensing the same stories, the same advice, over and over again. Well, blogging gives me the opportunity to curate my best ideas, archive them, and then share them with those I'm charged with leading. And Twitter is similar. I used to use it to direct my followers to links and other resources I believe they will find helpful. And best of all, these tools have extended my leadership and my circle of influence. Oh my gosh, I mean, beyond what I could have ever imagined. When I have people listening and paying attention from around the world and acting on what I suggest or looking at the resources that I offer, you know, that kind of influence to me is precious and it's amazing, but social media makes that possible. So how do you find time for social media in your already busy life? Well, by beginning to see them as tools that help you achieve what you're already given to do as a leader and fulfill your objectives as a leader. And if you grasp the potential and connect it with your vision, making time for social media will be much, much easier. So tip number one is simply to reframe the activity and put it in a larger context of accomplishing what you're already tasked to do. Tip number two, set reasonable goals. You know, you don't have to become a full-time blogger. I never was. In fact, I don't consider myself a full-time blogger now. That's certainly not the only thing I do. In fact, it's only a fraction of the stuff that I do. Platform building is only part of my job. I've got to get other stuff done just like you do. So I set reasonable goals. For example, you don't have to blog every day. You know, I used to think that that was important, and I practiced that for a while, and I was able even to do that with a full-time job and a very full-time family. But honestly, once a week really is fine. Tim Ferriss calls this the minimum effective dosage, and it's really true. I mean, you don't need to boil water to 213 degrees because it boils at 212. It doesn't need to get any hotter than that. And when it comes to blogging, once a week is a great place to start. For other reasons, you may want to do more than that later on, but once a week is really fine. And certainly don't increase the frequency till you can be consistent, keyword, consistent with that once a week kind of schedule. And you can knock out a blog post in about an hour or two. And the more you do it, honestly, the more proficient you will get. Then I would suggest that you pick one social media network to get active on. You know, think of this as the modern equivalent of Kiwanis or Chamber of Commerce membership. It's a place where people get together and network, and it's a place for you to connect with people who can help your business. You can check in on your network, make a few posts in 20 minutes a day or less. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. I know because that's what I've done and that's what I do. That's about how much time I spend now. And I suggest that you set a reasonable goal for how often you will blog, how often you will post per day on your favorite social media network. And again, don't feel like you've got to get involved in all these social media networks. There's too many. Just pick one. Pick the one where your constituents are the most likely to be. That might be LinkedIn for some. That might be Facebook for others. It might be Twitter for still others. But pick one of them and be consistent. Have a consistent presence. Show up. It's like if you're going to join the Kiwanis Club, you need to show up at the meetings. You need to have a regular, predictable presence if you're going to build trust, if you're going to build those deep relationships that turn into leads, that turn into business for your company. Tip number three, schedule time to do it. I've said it before, I'll say it again, what gets scheduled is what gets done. And this is true for any important activity. It's especially true for social media. For example, block out an hour or two to blog. Again, remember tip one, reframe the activity. This is mission critical to your success as a leader. It's not an add-on. It's something that you're probably doing now, but you're doing a lot more inefficiently, and this will give you the leverage to do it more efficiently. So block out an hour. Reframe it if you have to. And it has to be one of the ways you raise visibility. It has to be a way you cast vision, a way you network with others, a way you listen to your customers, a way to mentor the next generation. And an hour or two a week, in my opinion, is not too much to ask for those kinds of leadership activities. I would also decide on a specific time daily when you're going to be active on social media. Now, for me, it's right after I get done exercising. I do it while I'm cooling down. You know, I'm too hot. I'm sweating too much to get into the shower quite yet. So I just use this cool down time as a time when I check in on my favorite social media. And for me, that happens to be Twitter and to a lesser extent, Facebook. And I just take about 20 to 30 minutes tops. Now, during this time, I do something very specific. I go foraging for my tribe. And here's what I mean by that. I read through the blogs that I follow. I check my social media updates, and I'm looking for links and resources that I can bring back to my tribe and share with them. So I'm foraging for my tribe. I'm not just reading for my own edification, but I'm reading in the hopes that I can find stuff that will be beneficial to other people as well. So tip number three, schedule time to do it. Tip number four, use the latest tools. Now, I'm not going to give you a long list of tools. I don't want to make your eyes glaze over. I don't want to get you in over your head technologically. I just want to focus on three simple tools that for me make it much easier and much faster to be involved in social media. And these will save you tons of time as you get involved in the world of social media. So three tools real quickly. Tool number one, Feedly. Feedly, F-E-E-D-L-Y. There's a link in the show notes, but this is the program I use to follow my favorite blogs. And I used to use Google Reader, but as you may know, Google is shuttering Google Reader on July the 1st. And they keep reminding all the people that are using Google Reader that this is going away on July the 1st. They're no longer going to support it. They're going to shut it down. And you can't use it at all after that. So you've got to find another solution. And Feedly is the one that I've chosen. And if you want to search on my blog for Feedly, I even wrote an article on why I did that. I'm sorry, I don't have a link in the show notes for that. But it allows you to subscribe to a blog and then have that blog's content pushed to you as a reader, delivered to your doorstep, if you will, whenever the blog posts a new article. So you don't have to bookmark the sites. You don't have to go out and see if, you know, Michael Hyatt has got something new. You'll know it because it'll show up in your feed reader, in your Feedly account. And I think Feedly, by the way, is free. At least I'm using the free version of it. So, you know, this is terrific. Tool number two, Buffer. This is the program I use to schedule my Twitter and Facebook posts throughout the day. And it's a huge, huge time saver. I don't even know what I did before I had Buffer, but here's how it works. Whenever I find something I want to share with my followers, I create a tweet or a Facebook post. It even works with LinkedIn, by the way. And then I save it to Buffer along with the link. Then, get this, Buffer spreads these posts throughout the day according to a predetermined schedule I've set up. So, for example, I've said that I want to send out my first tweet in the morning, at least the predetermined tweets, at 8:08. And then I want to send another one at 10:10. And then I want to skip lunch and I want to send one at about 2 o'clock, another one at 4 o'clock, and then I want to go late in the evening. So these are my predetermined slots that Buffer's going to use. And as I add things to Buffer, it's going to start filling those slots one at a time in order and spread it out. And this keeps my followers from being flooded with a bunch of updates from me. And I know people that go out, I can tell they're out reading in the morning, and they're doing like, you know, a dozen updates all at once. And it's too much. I want to unfollow these people because it's a flood of information. I don't want to hear from them that much. I'd much rather hear from them throughout the day. It also, though, Buffer keeps me from having to post throughout the day. You know, I can consolidate, concentrate all my activity in the morning in this 20 or 30 minute block after I've exercised and fill up my Buffer and be done with it. Now, I'll check Twitter later on during the day and Facebook occasionally, just like when I take a break. But I'm doing that so that I can respond in real time to people who have questions, people who make comments or whatever. I want to be able to thank them. And I don't respond to everybody. I can't respond to everybody. I have too many mentions on Twitter, too many posts on Facebook. But you can do that initially, but eventually it doesn't scale. But it's important to do for one what you wished you could do for others. I got that tip from Andy Stanley. So I try to respond to some people, even though I can't possibly respond to everyone. So Buffer makes it possible for me to get that content out there in my favorite social media networks on a consistent basis. So that's tool number two. Tool number three is Hootsuite. Now, this is a social media dashboard. And rather than having to go to several different services to keep up with my followers and to interact with them, I do it all right there from the dashboard in Hootsuite, one convenient place. And better yet, I can segregate my followers into different columns or lists. For example, in Hootsuite, I have one column in my Twitter tab with just my family. I have another column with just my friends. I have another column with my coworkers. Another column with people that I consider to be sources, people that I know that are going to be curating content and delivering it on a consistent basis. But I pay different levels of attention to each column. You know, no surprise, but I'm far more interested in what my family has to say than what my friends have to say. And I'm more interested in what my friends have to say than even my coworkers. Sorry, coworkers. And my coworkers more than my sources. So I can focus the appropriate level of attention to the specific column. And it takes more to explain than actually if you saw it, you'd see how easy it is. You can also use Hootsuite to schedule posts. But again, I prefer doing that in Buffer because I don't have to pay attention to the particular time I want a post to appear. I just load up my Buffer and let Buffer spread them out. And I always get questions when I talk about these two tools. You know, what's the difference between them? Don't they do the same thing? No, they don't do the same thing. And the main difference is that with Buffer, I don't have to pick a time. I've already predetermined that with my schedule. And by the way, I have a different schedule during the week than I have on the weekends, and Buffer allows me to do that. I can create as many unique schedules as I want. But that's Hootsuite. And those three tools, I think, will save you a huge amount of time. So again, by following these four tips, reframe the activity, set reasonable goals, schedule time to do it, and use the latest tools, you can be active in social media and still have plenty of time for your other activities, I promise you. I hope this has been helpful. I'll be back in a minute with our listener Q&A segment. Welcome back. Our first question comes from Alex.
Hi, Michael. My name is Alex Barker, and my new blog, The Leadership Dojo, which just launched this week, is at alexbarker.org. My question is, how can leaders maximize their interaction with their audiences? What I find many leaders doing is they just post their quotes and links on their blog, especially on Twitter. It's almost a habit of mine where I now check the full Twitter profile of that leader just to see if they interact with their audience. Otherwise, you know, what's the point of even following her or him? Because I love seeing what people like you do, and Jeff Goins and Robert D. Smith, and how they interact with others. And, you know, it kind of makes me feel like a celebrity since I've tweeted you and actually received responses. Thanks, Mike, for what you do.
Alex, this is a terrific point. You must, if you're going to engage in social media, you've got to engage. The key word in social media is social. You know, this isn't a broadcast medium. This isn't a method for leaders to spam their followers with messages or to just broadcast them in a sort of unilateral way. But this is an opportunity for dialogue. This is an opportunity to hear from your tribe and respond to it. Now, I don't think it's necessary, and I said this before in the main content segment, I don't think it's necessary to engage with every single person that responds to you. Not every single blog comment, not every single Twitter mention, not every single Facebook post, whatever the medium is. You might be able to do that initially when you have a handful of followers, and I would encourage you actually to do it initially, but eventually it doesn't scale. When you have tens of thousands, I've got over 180,000 followers on Twitter right now. I get hundreds of mentions every day. I mean, that would be all I do every day to engage or to reply to every person that mentions me on Twitter. But again, as I said, Andy Stanley gave me a huge help with this when he said, do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. So I make sure I engage. I respond to some of the blog comments where I think I can add value and where I think I've got a unique perspective. But I have, in my case, a group of community leaders that do a terrific job making sure that people's questions get answered. They ask follow-on questions. They do just a great job of being present and being welcoming on my blog. So I feel like I don't have to do every single blog. But even if I didn't have a group of community leaders, I wouldn't feel the need to respond to every single comment. That's just weird. Think of it as hosting a party at your home. If you were a host and you had people come over to your home and people are conversing with one another and they make a comment, you wouldn't feel the need to comment on every single person's whatever they said. No, you would let the conversation take its natural course. Sometimes people are talking to you. Sometimes they're talking to one another. Sometimes they're talking to the whole group, but you don't have to comment on every single post. But again, do for one or two or three or how many ever you've got time for what you wished you could do for everyone and demonstrate that you're engaged, because people like Alex are checking, and none of us just want to hear from somebody that's always talking. That's just a blowhard. And there are a lot of people on social media that do that. The good news is those people don't usually get rewarded with a lot of followers. The people that you and I want to engage with, the people that we follow, are people who are involved in the conversation. And that's critically, critically important. Our next question comes from Basita.
Good morning, Michael. My name is Basita Santos, and I write at myoil.org. My question is, how do I juggle my Facebook account, my Twitter account, writing a blog, and also writing a book? What's the most effective method to use to have a presence in all of these areas? Thank you very much.
Basita, this is a great question as well, and it's a question that I get frequently, especially from writers who are trying to figure out, gosh, I've got to create all this content, and then you expect me to build a platform on top of that. I don't have time for both. Which one is more important? Well, here's reality. Both are important. In today's environment, it doesn't do you any good to create a lot of content and not have a platform, because the word will never get out. You've got to do both. Content is king, so if there's a priority, I'd give it to that. But platform is queen, and without both of them together, you're not going to be successful as a writer, or really even as a small business person, or anyone who's trying to get an important message out. So the way you do that is you've got to schedule time. You've got to become more disciplined than ever. You've got to focus a little bit, at least, on productivity and allocate your time accordingly. And as I think I said in the show itself and the main content portion of the show is that this is not going to take you more than about 20 minutes a day. And then maybe you've got to allocate some time, you know, once a week where you take an hour or two and write a blog post, but it really shouldn't take much more time than that. You can do this and you've got to do it and you've got to figure it out if you're going to be successful in getting the word out and getting the kind of attention that you need to be successful. The next question comes from Lori.
Good morning, Michael. My name is Lori Lane, and I have two ministry platforms, one located at artiosacademies.com and the other at heartofthematteronline.com, both dealing with home education. My question to you is, when we are busy and we're busy leading and busy with our families, what parts of social media are okay for us to delegate or outsource without losing our personal touch with our readers and the personal touch with our content and, of course, the growth of our platform? If you could respond to that, I would greatly appreciate it. A little overwhelmed at this moment trying to keep up on everything, as I'm sure many others are as well. Michael, we appreciate what you do, and thanks so much.
This is really an interesting question, Lori, because I used to think you couldn't delegate any of it, that you had to do every post. Well, you know, I've gotten to the point where I don't have time and the scale is so large that I'm just not able to do every single post. Now, I'm going to tell you, I do every single post on Twitter. Nobody helps me with that. I do that myself, every response, every reply, everything on Twitter is mine. Now, some of that's pre-populated with buffer tweets. I use another service called Social Oomph, and I don't want to confuse everyone with why I use that, but I use that to point to my older posts, and I do that on a rotating schedule that recurs every 90 days. But again, that's another conversation for another day. But on Facebook, I post about once or twice a day myself, and then I have one of my virtual assistants, Rebecca, who actually does the lion's share of the posting there. She knows my voice. She knows what I like to post. She knows the kind of stuff that I want to communicate through Facebook because we've had those kind of conversations. But she handles really the nitty-gritty and the details of that. And by the way, she's very transparent so that when she's posting on my behalf, especially if she replies on my behalf, she indicates that it's Rebecca and that she's part of my team. So we're not trying to fool anybody, but it's a way of keeping consistent content out there without me having to actually populate the status field and push the send or the publish button. So I think it is possible to do that, but you can't lose touch with your audience. You've got to get in there on a regular basis. You've got to comment. You've got to be engaged. But if you can do it like that and think strategically about it, what are the kind of posts? Like, for example, one of the things that Rebecca does for me is that when I write a blog post, she turns that into a Facebook post. And we don't do a simple linking to that post. She actually grabs the image. She creates an image post, and then she actually does a screenshot of the image with some of the text, and then she writes the appropriate post that links back to that on my blog. So she's handling that, and you might be able to think strategically about it and to enroll some people or some volunteers or somebody that you pay on a regular basis that's going to help you post some of this, but I would recommend not all of it. You want to retain your authentic voice. The next question, and the last one, comes from Vincent.
Hello, Michael. My name is Vincent Duncombe, and I am calling from Barron Springs, Michigan. I blog at richsinnerspoorsaints.com. My question is, for someone with limited time, how much time should be spent on social media when considering the need for quality content creation, engaging with current subscribers, SEO work, testing conversion rates, and other stats? In other words, where should social media rank on our list of priorities? Thank you for the podcast, and I look forward to hearing your response.
Vincent, personally, I think that it would be helpful for us to consider a traditional business model. You know, if you're going to build a thriving business, you've got to spend some time networking, cold calling, meeting new people. You know, that kind of activity, lead generation, this is all critically important. I would put social media in that category. If getting your visibility up, connecting with people that can help your business is important, and it is, if you're going to keep the pipeline full and keep a steady flow of new business coming in, you've got to be involved in social media. That's how we do it today. And it's not that those other means of communication or those other means of networking aren't important, but social media is like that on steroids. You know, it's a way to leverage your time that has far broader impact than you're going to have in just simply the traditional kinds of networking activities. You know, I do both, but social media is critical for me, and I can see a direct correlation in my social media activity and the sales that I end up generating for my business. I mean, it's a very simple algorithm. And the more that I'm involved in social media, the more I get out there and keep my traffic up, whether it's in Twitter or it's, you know, in terms of followers, or Facebook in terms of likes, or even my blog in terms of unique visitors, the more that rises, the more business I do, the more money I make. So there's a direct correlation for me. And I think both of them are important. So thanks for that question. Now it's your turn, the listener. What is keeping you from spending the time you know you should in social media? And to comment on this episode, go to my blog at michaelhyatt.com/60, as in episode 60, michaelhyatt.com/60. I'll be back in a minute with some announcements and a final action step for you to find more time to make room for social media in your already busy life.
Don't close your eyes. Don't close your eyes. Don't close your eyes. Don't close your eyes. This is your life. Are you who you want to be?
All right, I have a few quick announcements and then a final tip as you work to create more time to do social media. Number one, Bluehost. If you're considering launching your own platform, I talk about this every week, and if you're getting serious about it, you need to start with a self-hosted WordPress blog. This is not as complicated as it sounds. In fact, I've put together a step-by-step screencast on exactly how to do it. You don't need any technical knowledge. Thousands of people have used this to get started. I walk you through the entire process in exactly 20 minutes. And the screencast is absolutely free. And you can find it at michaelhyatt.com/WordPress setup. And there's a link in the show notes. The launch conference for this fall is filling up fast. We've got a special $200 discount code that is available just to my readers and to my podcast listeners. And I'll share that with you in a moment. But in case you don't know, Launch is the conference for professional speakers or those who want to be. It's all about the business of public speaking. And specifically, we teach you a powerful 4-part framework that enables you to discover your assets, design your products, develop your market, and determine your value. And this is the conference that launched me into my professional speaking career. And we're going to be holding the next one on September the 16th through the 19th in beautiful Vail, Colorado. And this is the one conference that'll pay for itself almost immediately. I paid for mine in the first month after I attended. But you can find out more at launchconference.tv. You can also use the discount code Hyatt, all caps, H-Y-A-T-T, and take $200 off the registration price. But this offer expires on June the 30th, 2013, so you only have a few days left, and you need to act quickly if you want to come. Finally, I'm going to be taking my annual sabbatical for the next several weeks, and during this time, I've recruited several of my favorite bloggers to guest post on my blog. They've already sent me their posts. They're already scheduled for publication. And I can promise you, they're terrific. These posts will be well worth your time. Now, with regard to my podcast, I'm going to run a series of what I'm calling encore episodes. And these are my most downloaded podcasts of all time. And you may have heard some of them, but I'll bet there are some you haven't heard at all. And I think you're going to find tremendous value from them, even if you've heard them before. But it's a great way for you to make sure you hear the best of the best. And this is going to start next week. And then I'll be back in August after charging my batteries, and I know I'm going to be raring to go. I can't wait. So now to our final tip. Let me leave you with this when it comes to finding time to engage in social media. I want to challenge you to schedule a 1-hour appointment with yourself this week to come up with your social media plan. I don't care what the plan is. Only you can determine what is right for you, but I want you to be thoughtful about it. Think through your responsibilities as a leader and decide how social media can be a tool to help you leverage those responsibilities. Write down your goals and get started. This is your mission, should you decide to accept it. And then come back to the show notes for this post and share your plan with us. I'd like to know what you plan to do, and I'd love for the community to hold you accountable to that. So I'd love to hear from you. Well, that's it for this episode of This Is Your Life. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please show the love by going to michaelhyatt.com/love and tweeting a link to the show. I'd be so grateful. That will help us to get the word out. But until next time, remember, your life is a gift. Now go make it count. This is your